This is the Preservation Technology Podcast, bringing innovation to preservation. The Preservation Technology Podcast is a production of the National Center for Preservation Technology and Training, a unit of the National Park Service.
My name is Catherine Cooper. I am here with...
Hi, my name is Dr. Portia Moore, and I'm the Rotating Program Head of Critical Museum Studies at the University of Florida.
Hi, I'm Rose Pequet. I am an independent scholar and artist living in California.
I'm Alethea Whitman. I am an independent consultant and coach working with museums and the cultural heritage sector, and I am in Seattle.
Wonderful. Thank you all so much for joining us today. To kick off the conversation, I'd like to ask each of you how you became involved with the discussion of inclusion in museums. What's your stories?
The way that I came to this subject and personal connection with this subject is really through starting my graduate studies at the University of Washington. I was getting a degree in museum studies with Rose. Rose and I were in the same class. We had different tracks to the research and the projects that we were doing, but through seeking out resources, voices, some practices that were emerging in the field related to inclusion that we really were looking to understand inclusion better so that it could inform our research and our areas of inquiry, we were really feeling at a loss for where to go for those resources. So for us, it was really this connection that we had, that we were both interested in subjects that are kind of leading us to asking new questions about inclusion. Who's talking about inclusion? What are the different frameworks for talking about inclusion? For me, I was really interested in the lens of social justice as the fore of how I was investigating emerging curatorial issues in museums. And I was interviewing people at different art museums that were talking about how they were committed to social justice. I really wanted to understand what was the conversation like before I arrived as an emerging scholar and person who wanted to enter the field. I was really wanting to know, where can I build my work from and how can I find community in accessing information about inclusion and really building and making my practice one that I felt ethically good about, both as someone who wanted to work in museums and a scholar.
Like Alethea said, we met when we were in this graduate program, both investigating questions of inclusions from different perspectives and from different projects. I'd moved to Seattle from living in Alaska and working on repatriation projects for a museum called the Aleutic Museum in Kodiak, Alaska. I had experienced a sense of vibrancy around museum being really a place, a resource for the community in terms of the stories that were being told and how they did their work. In Seattle, I was working with an organization that was offering art classes and museum visits to adults who were experiencing homelessness or recovering from homelessness. And that became the focus of my work in the museology program, was really trying to look at from the perspective of people who tend to not be included in museums. And in fact, I would encounter them, a lot of homeless people sitting outside the museum in Seattle, and just felt this dissonance of, we want the museum to be for all people and for our community. And here are people who somehow maybe we consider not part of our community, although they're sitting right here. What are the resources we have? We have shelter, we have art, we have these things that provide wellness and all sorts of things for people. And I, you know, don't think in a prescriptive way, whatever it is valuable regardless of your background. I was focusing my work on that. And from the perspective of people who had been homeless and who were homeless, how would they want to engage with the museum? What would be meaningful to them? That's how we started the Inclusium, as a space that could connect people, connect ideas, and show that this is a network of, there are a lot of people who care about these matters. Together, we create more strength for this work to happen in the world. rather than working in isolation or in a way that, you know, you think I'm the only one who cares, which is really saddening and can be discouraging. So building that momentum together.
It's so interesting. Every time we kind of share that story, it's like I get excited because quite literally discovering the work that Alethea and Rose began quite literally changed my life. So in 2011, I was enrolled in a library and information science program at the University of South Carolina. I had been awarded a Laura Bush 21st Century Leadership Librarian Grant. So it stands for Cultural Heritage Informatics Leadership Librarian, or CHIL Librarian. There was a small cohort of us, about eight, and our responsibility was to look across the GLAM sector, so galleries, libraries, archives, and museums, and identify and attempt to solve some really critical problems across the GLAM sector for the 21st century. My mother was a fourth grade teacher. She was largely in charge of organizing her school field trips. And so I would go with her on her school field trips. And even on the weekends, most weekends, instead of us going to a football game or a basketball game, we would hop in the car and go check out like a historic site. My mother was really into history and culture, and her love of history and culture definitely shaped my love and passionate understanding of it. And so being in this doctoral program where our entire lens was looking at problem solving across the GLAM sector, and we could also specialize. So I specialized in museums, and I also earned a graduate certificate in museum management. But one of the kind of critical issues that was really important for me is, as someone who was born and raised in the Deep South, someone who is female bodied and Black, when I would go on these trips, I would be invigorated by beauty and the history and memory and all of that. But I would often feel like there was a lot missing, a lot of narratives missing. I really wanted to try to also understand why, when I would go on these trips, I would either be the only person or one of a small handful of people of color. And so that was my original guiding question in my doctoral program and my doctoral research. And then I was really fortunate enough to be able to have a mentor and connect with other doctoral students in the education department who introduced me to critical race theory and this notion around scholarship as a form of activism. So thinking about activist scholarship and thinking about the power of problem solving within that context, within the context of museums, thinking about repatriation, restoration, social justice, as Alethea mentioned, I became really, really frustrated because I was not seeing language or ideology or even analytical frameworks that helped me really understand and unpack this issue of barriers to participation in museums. And then somehow I discovered the Inclusium. And I was like literally shouting like, oh my gosh, these people speak my language. Like, I found my people. And so I reached out, and I think I heard back from both Alethea and Rose, but I know that Rose and I spoke for like well over an hour in our first conversation. I was so elated. I was looking for new language and new rhetoric. So words like liberation, one of the things that I really did not understand is why within museums, we were constantly still having a conversation about diversity. Because diversity is a really hegemonic term that does not in any way speak to dismantling current systems of practice or thinking about future building. And so this notion around inclusion, I thought to have this kind of collaborative inquiry space where we could all collectively unpack what that word inclusion meant for us in our little part of the globe was really, really important.
We'd been talking about publishing a book for a few years prior to working on this concrete project. We thought, oh, it'd be fun to do something like this together, bounce around different ideas. And it seemed that with the coming 10-year anniversary of the Inclusium, of our work together, it was a good time to look back to a decade prior and everything that transpired in this work together and what we've learned so that we can also look forward. and position ourselves for the future. And I was finishing my doctoral studies. This was a couple years ago. And it seemed like, wow, maybe some of this research I'm doing for my dissertation could be well suited for the book. And so these different pieces started to come together about what this book could include, with different, like, you know, reflective pieces, and then a bit of a research piece, and then a looking forward piece. And I was like, wow, this is, here we go. This is it. We've got it.
I will also jump in and just kind of say, I think, like she said, we have been talking about writing a book for a really long time, but I also feel like a kind of catalyst for writing the book was, especially at the height of the quarantine and COVID-19, was kind of taking a critical assessment of the field in general, in particular in 2020, when we saw so many museums closing and people being laid off and furloughed, and we saw open letters. That museum landscape seemed really, really rocky, if you will. We thought it was a perfect time to take an assessment, to be able to kind of look back, especially in light of this notion around museum activism. Rosalithia and I were dubbed museum activists sort of very early on, and we were trying to figure out what that really meant. But we were identified as change agents. I think we all collectively felt like change agents. But I think, it, like Rose said, it was just a perfect timing to look back at the impact of the Inclusium as a project, look at all of these wonderful collaborators that we've been able to work with for about a decade, and how all of that synergy coming together at varying conferences, from AAM to Museum Computer Network to Museums and the Web to AASLH, NCPH, like all of these different conferences, being able to always galvanize and network with people and continue to have these really rich, powerful conversations around inclusion. And so it was really exciting for us to think about looking at where we started.
A lot of those conversations about doing the book in general really led to a lot of conversations that became the outline for what the book was going to include. As Rose was talking about, there was this sense of, we're looking back at this project at 10 years, and we're in this reflective place in thinking about, what is it that the Inclusium has been? What are we thinking about in terms of its role, and also what it's been in relationship with many other collaborators and people who have been asking questions, sometimes together with us at varying times, these other projects that have coexisted with us. So we wanted to start off the beginning of the book reflecting on our own personal stories. So you'll find that. We wanted to start by thinking about and introducing the question itself that brought us all together: what is inclusion? And so we invite the reader into that background, and that has kind of been the question that the project has turned on. We move from there to a genealogy, a looking back, both at the project, but in context of the developing discourse of inclusion in museums from our specific vantage point. And I think it's been very important for us to always be naming to the reader and to people we're in dialogue with that we're telling a story about inclusion in museums specifically from our vantage in this project. So situating ourselves and also recognizing that there's a lineage that our work is indebted to that goes back decades and decades. And we are picking up and adding to this emerging story of what we understand inclusion museums to be. And that story is going to continue to change. So we needed to do the history. We needed to lay that out and to open it up and to recognize so many of our colleagues and friends and co-workers in asking critical questions about inclusion. But we also wanted to build that book towards the future focus. We move from past to present to future as kind of the trajectory of the book and how it's structured. And at the end of every chapter, we pose these critical questions for the reader to invite in the reader tapping into their own experiences, which we can't speak on behalf of, but we know is part of the story that we're trying to tell. So we wanted all these invitations to consider inclusion and to think about how it's evolved in our understanding, and that we can continue to provoke questioning about it in the future, and that we all need to be doing that from our different vantage points, our different roles, the backgrounds that we bring, the localized histories or organizing potentially that we've been involved in. So I think there's a bit of a back and forth we try to establish with the reader throughout the book, and that probably comes from our background blogging. You're really putting yourself out there and you're really hoping you get a dialogue. That's the whole hope. But in a book, you're a bit stuck in your own narrative. And I think now that the book's out, that's been something that's been really fun, is now we really get to engage in some of those dialogues with readers, because we have always thrived off of that in our work. So really the user experience and the reader experience is the whole point of writing the book.
I'm not going to speak on the future of the Inclusium, but I think often what I envision for the book is the multitude of things. One, I envision and hope that many, if not all, museum studies programs read the book to learn and sort of understand this amazing intellectual and professional journey of taking a single word and excavating, mining, expanding upon this single concept as a means to evoke powerful change in the field. It is my hope then that once people sort of understand all of this work that has taken place in the last decade, that I feel like really strongly that we're in a new place of change, and that we're in a new cycle of looking at whether it's focusing on a new word or a new framework or a new methodology. I'm really excited about some of the emerging museum professionals that I'm meeting, my own students who are just killing it in terms of thinking about critical museum work, asking all kinds of new questions, pioneering really amazing research. And so I think part of that vision and part of that hope is that we will see the Inclusium.
One of the hallmarks I think of the Inclusium project from the start has been this core of collaborative inquiry. So I think one of the things that's happened as a result is that it's somewhat been a platform that responds to the call of collaborators, emerging subjects or events that matter, or bring more people together in a networked way. And so that has meant we kind of move, I think, at the speed of, maybe trust is a good way to say it, as many people have said before, moving at the speed of trust, in that we have a lot of ideas, but sometimes to prove the idea or to get a real sense of where to place our efforts, we listen a lot to where conversations are going or open ourselves up to hear from people where they'd like us to go. I think that at this particular time in museums, there has been such a radical remaking and resetting of all the things that museums thought were so stable at being shaken up, that there's still time to figure out what's ahead and where we should go, because there's a lot that we've all been through. There's a lot of things that are emerging from this moment, like the unionizing movement and the conversation about unionizing. There's a lot about pay transparency and museums as workplaces that are beholden to kind of the ethical discourses about how people are supported, their mental health, their overall well-being. And so how are museums becoming those places of work that have the bar set high and help set museums out to be a model instead of lagging behind? One thing that I think we can share a little bit more about is also just our collaborative process as authors, which I think many might relate to as the pandemic has been happening and we've all kind of like shifted communication styles and the nature of work has shifted. As we've been talking about before, things have kind of been thrown up in the air. You know, we as authors, I think writing a book together where we all contributed to every chapter, I'm curious to hear from Portia and Rose, you know, a little bit about like that experience of creating a new kind of collaborative model for even writing the book that was responsive to the pandemic. And we kind of go through all these things in the book of what our collective realities were like. We kind of start right there because that was our background when we were putting the pieces of this book together. We tried to be explicit about a little bit of how it happened in the book itself to pull back the veil of even what is writing a book look like these days, especially one of this kind that is really connected to a decade of work and are coming to that and having conversations about it and being transparent and sharing that with readers.
This is going to sound very Hallmarky, whatever, but it's true. It did not feel for me like anything other than the beautiful way that the three of us have always worked for the last decade. The warmth and the empathy and the grace that we give each other all the time, the care. We're special to one another. And I just think it shows up in how we communicate, how we write, the process for, as Rose said, I think even when sometimes we're texting one another or we'll have a Zoom check-in, I think that over the years, we've just always respected one another and have always been collectively inspired by the other. And so for me, the process, it just was more sort of formalized, if you will, because we had the outside entities of the editors and the publishers. But really and truly, it just felt like a continuation of how we have been working, whether it's the blog or whether it's workshops or presentations at a conference. I mean, Rose and I had a presentation way long ago, I think 20, I don't even know, at an AM conference in Atlanta. It was myself, Rose,
Margaret Middleton.
Was it even an hour, Rose? Like, we were just like, oh, we're not going to do this anymore. We chucked our whole entire presentation. But I think also we've done that probably way more than once. We're very responsive because I think that we're also very reflexive and just very empathetic and passionate allows us to have a particular way that we work. We're not scripted. I mean, we all sort of come from academia, but I don't think we function in any way as like quote unquote normal academics. I think we just have a very unique common ethos that works for us. I don't think everyone could like step into the process. We've been sort of like this since the beginning. So I deeply appreciate it.
Me too, so much. And that this way of working together for me also mimics the ideas we want to amplify through our work with the Inclusium and through the book too, of like being responsive, taking time to listen, and that we can't have this sense of urgency for trying to build trust. We're putting that in practice through our relationship and our work together. To me, that is, you know, super special and gives integrity to the whole endeavor.
Thank you all so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much, Catherine.
Thank you, Catherine.
Yes, thank you.
This was a presentation of the Preservation Technology Podcast, produced by the National Center for Preservation Technology and Training. To find more podcasts like this one, please visit our website,